It's generally the owner or sole proprietor that's having to keep track of it. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're not an accountant. They know how to do their business, and they're very good at that. But last thing they want to do is, you know, really handle paper.
This is Podcast for Business, episode 063. Get your mug of coffee ready and let's go.
Welcome to the show. I'm Ellen Ross, and you're listening to Podcast for Business, business conversations over coffee. Please welcome the host of our show, Diane Campbell.
Hey, everybody. I'm so glad you're here today. Welcome to Podcast for Business. Thanks, Ellen. If you want more customers and referrals from a trusted LinkedIn network, contact Ellen Ross at Your LinkedIn Pro at 404-721-3083 or email her at ellen@yourlinkedinpro.com. Thanks for joining us today. This podcast airs every Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. Show notes are found at podcastforbusiness.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to Podcast for Business. I'm Diane Campbell, and today I have Keith Early here from Keith Early, CPA, PC. Welcome to the podcast today, Keith.
Well, thanks for having me, Diane.
Well, I'm excited because today we're going to talk about what it means to have a CPA in mm-hmm. your business, mm-hmm. when you should engage in having one, and all the details that you know that I'm going to be asking you
okay.
about the world of CPA. So introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us what you do.
Okay. Well, my name is Keith Early. I'm a CPA. I provide accounting and tax services for mid-size and small businesses. Also, do provide some tax services for individuals as well.
Okay. Now, as a small business owner, when would be the best time to engage in a CPA's services?
I think anybody that's planning on starting a small business should consult with a CPA before they even get started, because you know, there are tax consequences, there's a selection of the entity, and these things need to be discussed with somebody knowledgeable before you even start the business.
Well, okay, listening audience, you heard that. Before you even start the business, let's get a hold of Keith to sit down and talk about the different entities that it takes to start a CPA. So before I get started, I should be talking to you, and you're going to tell me or help me fill out the correct forms, get the right documents in place?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, tell us more about that.
Well, when I meet with somebody, when they're starting a business, you know, I like to sit with them, talk with them, find out the type of business, what their goals are, what type of experience they're bringing into it, what type of resources they're bringing into it. And all of these really have an impact on, you know, the type of business, the type of accounting system, and, you know, what needs to be done. When a business starts, you know, they have several options. The person can start out as a sole proprietor. They can incorporate. They can form an LLC.
Tell us the difference between all of these three, because there's someone maybe listening doesn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So could you explain that to us?
Well, and deciding the type of entity is generally a legal question. I refer that
sure.
to a business attorney. But basically, a sole proprietor is somebody, they're just operating a business as themselves. They have, they file on their individual return. They put all the income and expenses for the business. The corporation and the LLC are collective forms of forming a business. They also, provide certain other protections as well, which, you know, this is something I refer people to an attorney for. also with the corporation and the LLC, there's certain formalities that have to be done as far as filing organization papers, filing with the state, and annual maintenance of that, annual minutes. The corporation generally has more formalities, and the LLC is a little more streamlined. Now, as far as tax entities, somebody has filed as a corporation, they have the option of filing as a C corporation or an S corporation. The LLC, when a business files as an LLC, when they form an LLC, they have an option of filing. If it's one member, they can file as a disregarded entity. They report the income as if they were sole proprietor, and they can also select corporation, C corporation, or S corporation status. If there's a multi-member LLC, they can also choose to file as a partnership. And, you know, each of these, you know, have a certain tax impact. That's why I like to meet with the client. I like to talk with them and, you know, find out what their goals are for the business, what type of business. And, you know, with that, you know, I go into more in depth with the client. And I, you know, help them determine what is going to be the best entity, you know, for their purpose.
Okay. What if I'm a home business? Does the same kind of policies apply to a home business? Do I have to designate whether I'm a sole proprietorship or an LLC if I'm inside a home?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
So it's the same thing?
Same thing, yeah.
Okay, so, but if I'm a home business and I'm operating or driving everywhere, you're mm-hmm. going to kind of instruct me to keep track of mileage, maybe?
Mileage is important. Mileage is one of the biggest expenses that some small business owners have. And to be able to deduct it on your return, you have to keep track of it and have written records.
Cool. So written documents, so if the IRS comes back and wants to see where I've been or why I'm tracking that mileage, I'll be able to...
You need to be able to document it.
Document that.
Yes.
Is there a certain... I have an app mm-hmm. that I use. Is there a certain app or anything that helps with that?
There are certain apps.
Okay.
One that I like is Expensify.
Expensify.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what that allows you to do is you can track mileage using the GPS function in your phone.
That sounds like an easy thing to do.
It is, but it's still, you know, it's still hard to get people to keep up with and be consistent.
Yeah. I remember my accountant, when I went there, she told me if people just did what you did, I was able to write off close mm-hmm. to $5,600 $600 worth of travel expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important for a small
Very
business. You
yeah.
want to be able to write off. What other things can a small business do to take some deductions?
Well, you know, keeping track of the expenses is important. A lot of time, you know, not only do you have to take the deduction, but you have to be able to justify it. You
sure.
have to be able to prove it.
Written proof. Gotcha.
You got to show the check or the credit card receipt where you paid for it and an invoice, you know, so you can know what was purchased. And, you know, there are some opportunities, you know, when, you know, business is purchasing equipment, you know, they might look at the end of the year and, you know, see what their needs are and, you know, be able to take it in the current year and, you know, go ahead and make the purchase. And there are some items like that. But, you know, the biggest thing I tell my clients, you know, as far as being able to deduct something, is keep track of everything.
Mm-hmm. So when you keep track of it, there is little things that you can do to argue against it. If you have a paper trail of that, then you can defend it.
It makes it easier to defend,
yes. Is there a file system or some way to keep records so that when it's all brought to you, you don't have to take a shoebox and dissect everything in there? How would you prefer a client present their information to you?
Well, I do it various ways with my clients. Some people do bring a shoebox full of records, receipts. They ask me to put it together. Generally what I do is, with the clients, with the size of business I'm working with, they've already got an accounting system going. And, as they're making the purchases, as they're, expending money, I, make sure they've got the receipt, make sure they've got the documentation for the purchase, and just, put it in a filing system, get manila envelopes and
do something.
Label it for the vendor. Yeah. Make sure you retain it. I tell them, if you don't know, go ahead and keep it. And, we'll worry about that later. It's better to have pieces of paper that we don't need than to have to go back and, find something, go back to a vendor after the fact.
Sure. Now, are there different challenges for a medium-sized business versus a small business and a large business in terms of keeping track of the accountant and all the things that you do?
Well, all businesses are different. The smaller businesses don't generally have an accounting person. They don't have somebody that's dedicated to those tasks. And it's generally the owner or sole proprietor that's having to keep track of it. And, a lot of times, they're not an accountant. They know how to do their business, and they're very good at that. But last thing they want to do is, really handle paper. And I think
I'm one of those.
Yeah, and I think they tend to procrastinate with these tasks, and they find other things to do. So that's how I get it. That's how everything ends up in the shoebox. The bigger businesses, they're more paper, they're more items to keep track of, and of course, generally they have somebody that is dedicated to that task.
Mm-hmm. Is there a simple tool that a business owner, a new business owner, or a small business owner could use to help them keep things on track? Is QuickBooks something that works well?
QuickBooks, program that I work with that I like is Xero, X-E-R-O. It's a cloud-based accounting system. It is, it's a competitor to QuickBooks, but I have worked with it. It's more robust. It's much easier for the clients to use, and it interfaces with a lot of other applications. And, we can they have different add-on apps that integrate with Xero, and, we have we can customize it. We can customize an ecosystem to the business's needs.
Well, that sounds kind of convenient for a business owner to need, because we use QuickBooks Manufacturing here, but some other companies don't need that, but they might need something a little bit different than regular QuickBooks.
Retail, law firm.
Right.
Yeah, it just depends on the business.
Well, cool. So when you engage with a client, what kind of questions are you going to be asking them when you first start with a client?
Well, I want to find out, first of all, what type of business is they are starting. I want to find out what their experience is in it, or experience in any business. I want to find out what their goals are for the business, because if somebody's starting a business and they are starting the business and they're planning on selling in a couple of years, we're going to plan differently than if somebody is starting a business and they plan on running it until they retire. The goals are different. And I talk to them about the type of records they're going to be needing to keep. I talk to them about, generally just, the overall business. And from that, we start planning. We talk about entity selection. If they haven't already spoken with an attorney, I can refer them to an attorney. We make sure that they, get all the business license registrations that they need, and you know, if the business needs payroll, we can help them get set up on that. And then I really, you know, look at the accounting system and talk to them about, you know, what records are they going to need. We talk about the types of financial statements, type of reports that the business owner is going to need. So, you know, the business owner can really understand the activity of the business.
We'll return after this short break. You're listening to Podcast for Business.
Gratitude Goodies is a corporately focused gift basket company that provides delicious, stunning gifts to businesses all over the metro Atlanta area and nationwide. When you call, your order is created in real time by our skilled designers with an eye for elegance and style. They also have a full-featured website at www.gratitudegoodies.com. To celebrate or appreciate, call Gratitude Goodies at 770-886-9598.
Welcome back to Podcast for Business.
Now, besides tax season, you're obviously in contact with the business owner around tax season.
Right.
Is there a check-in that you guys do to make sure they're on track with the goals that you talk about?
I do. With my business, when I'm working with a business client, when I'm doing a full service accounting, I keep in touch with my clients. Some, you know, depending on the activity of the business and depending on you know, what their desire is, you know, we have performance meetings either monthly or quarterly. We talk about the financial statements.
I think the performance meeting is like you call it. That's a perfect name for mm-hmm. it. Are we on track to keep pace with our goals mm-hmm. that we decided together, right? And you're partnering with me to, or with that business owner, to make sure that the performance is
right.
happening.
Yeah.
And if it's not, do you readjust?
I do. And when I you know, first start with a client, the performance meetings sometimes are more geared towards helping them understand the financial statements, and we help them understand the financial statements, and we help them set goals. And as we move forward with the business, you know, we look to see if we're realizing that goals. We look to see, you know, are there any problems, any indicators of problems with the business, and you know, when there are, we, you know, identify the problems and we start measuring, and yeah, you know, we see if we can figure out a way to solve it.
That's cool. What else do I need to know? Say I'm in business 5 years. Is there something different that I need to be looking at, or what if I'm going to be maybe selling the business?
Mm-hmm.
There's an end in sight. There's a goal for mm-hmm. my business, whatever it may be, to sell it and retire.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Well, when somebody is going to, when their goal is to sell the business and retire, you know, we look to see, is this a business that is really self-supporting? Is the business owner, is it just they're paying for themselves to have a job? Or are they really running a business that's operating and on its own? Could that owner step away? And if it is, that's great, and that's you know, that's a good business to sell. If it is not, you know, we help the owner start, you know, kind of moving towards that, moving towards where the business is self-supporting. We help them set up systems. We help them plan. We help them train employees. We help, you know, get the business where it can support itself and, you know, pass it on to the next owner.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you come up with a value for a business?
I am not a valuation expert.
Okay.
But I can refer somebody, and generally what they do is, you know, they do look at the accounting numbers. They look at the revenue, the gross revenue, and they look at the profit from that business. And
so it is driven by the financial data.
It is. It is.
Okay, and you can refer that business owner to the right person that,
that
can
is correct.
Formulate an evaluation in order to get to a price.
That is correct.
And
yeah.
Would it be safe to say that we put, as business owners, a higher evaluation on our business because of the emotional?
Absolutely.
Blood, sweat, and tears?
That's what it's, everybody that's selling their business, you know, seems to think it's worth more.
We do that with our
really
houses,
is.
Too,
yeah.
In the real estate
houses,
industry.
Houses, everything, yeah.
Yeah. So you could refer someone to mm-hmm. perhaps a what is that person? What's that title that can evaluate a business?
Just a business valuation expert.
Okay.
I mean, there are some CPAs that do this. I don't, and mm-hmm. You know, I can certainly refer a business owner to someone who does.
Okay. Can we talk money?
Money.
Yeah, money. Mm-hmm. How much does it cost to engage in the services of a CPA?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have numbers for there?
Sure,
where we can get
sure.
started?
Yeah. I mean, I know the average billing rate for a CPA in Atlanta is $229 an hour.
Okay.
You know, the projects, tax returns, accounting is generally a factor of, you know, the time involved.
Sure.
And the complexity of the work. When you know, you're sending work to a CPA. Now, it's not always going to be done by the partner. When you have many, many invoices mm-hmm. to add up and columns of numbers, they're going to refer that to a lower-level person who's going to bill less.
Right.
And, you know, generally, you know, the work is reviewed by a somebody at a higher level.
So if I have a shoebox and a tangled mess, a big mm-hmm. group ball of information
mm-hmm. –
the more time that you spend taking it apart and putting it back together nice and neat is going to determine the price.
That is correct.
So it's beneficial for me to keep mm-hmm. things neater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what kind of clients is your firm looking to
get? Service industry. I do work for some law firms. Janitorial, art galleries, different service type businesses, also construction companies.
Okay.
I like working with construction companies, and there's really three things that I can provide to construction companies. First is that construction companies, when they're working on bigger projects, sometimes are required to have a bond. And in order to have a bond, they have to have certified financial statements. They have to have a compilation. Only a CPA can provide a compilation. I provide that. The second thing that I provide construction companies is job costing, job cost reports. That means a separate profit and loss for each project that they're working on.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, that is a thing.
That is a thing.
It's, you know, the construction companies, the owners, really, you know, appreciate this because they can evaluate, you know, which project am I making money on, which am I not. And the third thing is organization, because I have worked with several construction companies that I got there and they had a complete mess. They mm-hmm. had literally piles of papers. They had invoices stuffed between the cushions.
That's my worst nightmare is
yeah.
piles of paper.
Yeah, they had invoices stuffed between the cushions in
oh,
their
goodness.
Chair. So what I do is I work with a organizer to help, you know, get the records together.
Now, I would have never thought that an organizer, but it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. So you take all those things. And I guess the industry of construction is always moving.
Mm-hmm.
People are in and out, no time to sit down and at a desk and do whatever.
That is
so
true.
So they just throw the paperwork,
mm-hmm.
put it there. I'll deal with that later. Never happens.
That's what happens.
Okay. So those are the companies you like to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And can a new business owner contact you?
New business owners, yeah.
What is the best way for them to reach you?
They can My phone number is 404-481-3803.
Okay.
The small office number. Also, they can email me at Keith, K-E-I-T-H, dot Early, E-A-R-L-Y, at K-A-E-C-P-A.com.
Okay. Let's talk about networking. Mm-hmm. You are a veteran networker. How important is that for your business?
It's important. I have, you know, like we were speaking, I've been in networking groups. I've been in PowerCore for 11 years now. And
it must be working if you're staying there with it.
It is working. And, you know, with something like that, you have to really stick to it because you might have periods where you might not be getting business for a while. And then you come across somebody you haven't spoken with in 5 or 6 years and they call you up for a project. But it's a good opportunity for me. It allows me to really explain to people what I do because it seems like everybody's got a brother-in-law that's a CPA or an accountant or a tax preparer. And when I'm in the networking groups, I can really tell about my business. I can tell about my expertise. I can tell about my method of going about things. And I think, you know, telling this, speaking about it, also, after I've been in the groups for a while, after I've, met with people, I think they start to understand my experience and my competence, and, they can convey this to their contacts and, hopefully generate referrals for me.
We all like to establish that level of trust, know, like, and trust. I imagine if you're dealing with somebody's money, somebody's business, that they have to have a high level of know, like, and trust.
This is true.
And that's a step. Networking mm-hmm. is a step, a way to build out a relationship
mm-hmm.
In a very casual way
mm-hmm.
where you can get that know, like, and trust factor.
Yeah.
How long have you been in business?
I have been a CPA for 20, or I've been in accounting for 29 years.
Okay.
And I've, worked with different accounting firms. I've worked the consulting company. I started my own practice in 2014, so I have actually been doing this for 3 years now.
What has been your biggest challenge in your own business since 2014?
The biggest challenge is bringing in clients because, I know that there are many, many businesses out there that need the type of services that I'm providing. It's just, it's just getting the word out to them. It's finding the business owners. It's telling them that I understand the problem and I have a fix for it.
Now, that's the challenge, and mm-hmm. I think every small business has that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You've had some triumphs along the way. Talk to us about some of those.
Some of the triumphs? Well, I've had some engagements where I've helped clients, start a business and really get off the ground. Those are my favorites because, with every business you've got somebody's hopes and dreams.
And families, yeah.
And families, yes.
Families
absolutely.
Are there.
That's, really where you, I guess, get the most gratification is when you really help somebody see their dreams.
So that's cool. All right. Well, I can't think of anything else right now to talk about except sliding into Friday
mm-hmm.
And enjoying the weekend. But repeat again the numbers, the website and the phone number for
okay.
people. If they want to get in touch with you, they can do that.
Okay. My website is www.kaecpa.com. And it has some great information about the types of services that I provide. My phone number is 404-481-3803, and my email is keith.early@kaecpa.com.
Okay. Well, we're going to post that on the show notes for our mm-hmm. listeners to see and take advantage of. Podcast for Business listeners, we're wrapping up here on a Friday, and I'm particularly happy because it's the weekend coming up. Mm-hmm. But if you want to reach, get a hold of Keith at Keith Early CPA PC, by all means, give him a call, and you'll be able to sit down in a consult with them.
Absolutely.
Do we charge for that?
No.
No.
The first consultation is, the consultation is free.
Awesome. So if you have any questions and you want to know more about his practice and his firm, then give Keith a call. So thank you for joining us today,
Keith. Well,
thank
you for having me.
This has been an informative podcast. And for our listeners, have a great weekend, and we'll see you again next time. Take care.
Are you in business? Do you know someone in business who has a story they'd like to share? Be sure to let us know. We would love to hear your comments, or if you have been helped or inspired in some way by our guest today. You can email us at info@podcastforbusiness.com or comment on our Facebook page. Remember to like us on Facebook and share the Podcast for Business with others. We'd be grateful. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. The Podcast for Business podcast comes out every week on Thursday at 7:30 a.m. See you next time.